Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by award-winning broadcasters. Let me try that again. 3, 2. Cinema Classics is produced by award-winning broadcasters John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
And this is Cinema Classics.
It is indeed. We're continuing our conversation, John, about actors turned directors.
Yes.
Or actors who frequently work as directors or whatever. Now, we were moving from our A-list.
Yes.
Which at the top of that crop is Clint Eastwood and Robert Redford. And then we were going to talk about our B-list.
Yes.
And we started talking about Penny Marshall.
Yeah.
And I think a great place to start this conversation is another TV actor turned director who once started as an A-list director and is now fallen to somewhere along the B or C level.
I think I know who that is.
Who
Are
is
you
it?
Talking about Rob Reiner?
I am talking about Rob Reiner. If you remember for a while, Rob Reiner could do no wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Spinal Tap. Yes. Princess Bride.
A Few
when
Good
Harry
Men.
Harry Met Sally. A Few Good Men.
Whoa. Yeah. That's tap stuff.
He was, I mean, on top of the world, this guy. And then he made
Bucket List.
Well, that was recently.
Yeah.
But he made a movie that really tanked right after A Few Good Men called North.
No.
Which is like had Bruce Willis in a bunny suit or something. It was terrible. But then he followed that up with The American President. And then he did Ghosts of Mississippi, which looked to be like one of those Oscar-contending
mm-hmm.
movies,
mm-hmm.
but it just didn't catch on. And then he slowly sort of just trickled away off of everyone's radar, and he hasn't really been doing anything. He did a movie called The Story of Us, Alex and Emma. Rumor has it, which was a terrible follow-up to The Graduate with Jennifer Aniston. Ugh,
so
awful.
Yeah, it's inscrutable. What happens to somebody who was near genius in the first part of his career and he doesn't?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know that
we have several people like that.
Yeah.
But one of the ones that you might be surprised is Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She did it in The Land of Blood and Honey in 2011, which didn't go...
What was that about?
I have no idea.
That's good.
That's right.
So it made a lasting impression. I can tell.
I know,
made a lasting impression.
But the one that I think will make
Are you just
an
paying lip service to female directors
no,
at this
no,
point, John?
No, because I am going to tell you how much I'm looking forward to her directing Unbroken.
That, what is that?
That great novel about the Italian World War 3-2-1. Great novel about an Italian World War II hero who was an Olympic athlete and then was... captured.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a long time at sea on a raft and then was captured by the Japanese and was tortured. And so it's a thrilling...
Who was he?
Yeah. So he... Are you kidding me? You think I could remember his name? but anyway, the novel...
We got the plot synopsis down.
But it's a great novel, and I'm predicting if she can do it well that this will move her up toward the Ben Affleck...
Oh, really?
Level.
Wow.
I think so.
Interesting.
So I'm just hoping for it.
But you've piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
You can't talk about female, or let's stay away from that word. 3, 2. You can't talk about actresses turned directors without talking about Jodie Foster.
You got it. Yeah.
Jodie Foster really never, I don't think she certainly hasn't turned out a movie that would make us think of her as a serious director. I mean, you know, the movies that she has made have all been watchable.
So tell me,
quality products,
beside Little Man Tate, which was a big start for her in 93.
Yeah.
The Beaver, which was overshadowed by Mel Gibson.
Right.
What else has she done?
Everybody loves Home for the Holidays. Did
oh.
you know this movie has
no.
like a strong cult following
oh,
to it?
Oh, okay.
Home for the Holidays. Every time I start talking to people about their favorite seasonal movies, everybody asks me about Home for the Holidays, and have I seen it? And you know what? I saw it years ago, but people watch that year in and year out, and they love it. So apparently she did something right. That stars Holly Hunter and Robert Downey Jr., you'll recall.
Right. Well, let me throw this one out to you.
Well, wait. Okay, go ahead.
All right. What did you have?
You tell me what you have.
Well.
You tell me what you have, and then I'll tell you what I have.
Maybe my favorite actor
Okay.
Turned director.
So you're going mail again?
B-list. I'm going mail.
Okay.
I'm going mail.
See,
here.
You've jumped ahead. Now we have to go back.
All right.
Now I have to tell you. Because you're going to change the course of this conversation.
Tell me then, what were you thinking?
We can't talk about these ladies without talking about Sarah Pauly.
Sarah Pauly, yeah.
See, now aren't you glad I stopped you?
Yeah, you are. And that's a great
Sarah Pauly.
One movie that I know away from her I loved.
Right. Oh, yeah, Away From Her is terrific. And Sarah Pauly, she made a little impact in the late 90s, early 2000s with some independent movies, some of her performances. Like, I'm thinking of The Sweet Hereafter, right?
Oh,
she was
yeah.
in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And she got a lot of attention for that. And she her acting career never quite took off, but she's now found her niche as a director. And she made this movie Away From Her with Julie Christie, right?
Yes.
And in a phenomenal performance. And now recently, she did this film, like a documentary about her family and her life growing up with her very interesting dynamic parents called, what was it called? And recently she made the award-winning documentary which examines her life growing up and the narratives that were woven by her mother and father in the movie Stories We Tell, which is, by all accounts, great. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, can we get back now to...
Now you can do it. Well, you were jumping ahead.
All right, because one of my favorite actors turned director is Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think some of his Shakespearean adaptations have been the greatest.
He really wasn't an actor turned director. He always started out as an actor director. I mean,
yeah,
if
you're
we're
right.
being...
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was on everybody's radar the minute he came out with Henry V.
Yeah.
In which he both performed.
And Much Ado About Nothing. He did some great... Shakespeare.
Yeah, you know what we should have really just thought about? Is this show about actors turned directors or actor directors?
Yeah.
You know what? You see the gray line.
I do. He also directed movies like Thor.
Yeah,
which
weird.
Is hard to believe, isn't it?
It is hard to believe. So and yet, strange. When you see some of Thor's clunkier parts, it kind of makes sense.
Now, maybe not a great director, but certainly a controversial one, Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Because The Passion of the Christ is a major impediment. 3-2-1. Passion of the Christ had a major impact on our culture.
Sure.
The way it is.
For a month.
And made him a colossal fortune. So there's something very smart about Mel Gibson.
Well, yeah, that was smart. But prior to that, he made the Oscar-winning Braveheart, which still has a lot of fans.
Yeah, it does.
And I have a confession to make.
You've never seen Braveheart.
I refuse to see it.
I have never seen it either.
Is that funny?
My friend Robin beats me up all the time.
Is that
because
right?
It's her favorite film.
I was so annoyed when that movie came out for some reason as a young movie snob. And I just turned my nose up at it. When it started winning all those awards, I just refused to watch it. And to this day, I haven't seen it.
Well, I'll tell you a big disappointment of mine. And our list. Big, big disappointment.
What's that? Who?
Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
Because I loved Dances with Wolves.
I love that movie, too.
And what promise. And after that, he just seemed to fritter all that promise away.
Well, he never really directed it. Well, he directed Waterworld. No, Kevin Reynolds directed Waterworld, and then he had a fight with that guy and fired him and then took over the directorial reins. But he didn't really direct that. I think the only thing he has directed outside of Dances with Wolves is an awful movie called The Postman.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I didn't realize he
directed
that.
Which was like a post-apocalyptic, some sort of Western, like a post-apocalyptic Western. But don't forget he also directed Open Range, which is one of the finer post-Unforgiven Westerns that have been made in recent years.
Okay, good one, yeah.
So it's not that he really didn't fulfill that promise. He just never really pursued...
Well, it's
directing,
tough, to win the Oscar and then try to follow that up. And I think he's, with his life, has been somewhat profligate so that he hasn't really concentrated the way we had called in our last session on this for the kind of concentration you need. Now, here's somebody.
Yeah.
Can I go dip way, way back?
Yeah.
Who has a series of films that he directed that could be almost as good as his career.
Okay.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, let me just give you some titles.
Yeah.
The Gold Rush,
right.
City Lights, Modern Times, The Great Dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and great. We have the Countess from Hong Kong,
you can't underestimate Charlie Chaplin's accomplishments, not only making the finest films of his time,
yes,
but then being able to navigate the change in technology. You know, Charlie Chaplin, unlike many performers, whether they were actors or directors or writers, survived the transition to sound.
Yes.
And that is something really kind of quite unique. And, you know, he didn't do it. He kind of put his toe in the water a little bit when sound technology became par for the course. He didn't right away make a sound movie. You know, The Great Dictator has moments of sound.
Okay.
Or Modern Times, rather, has moments of sound. And then he leads into The Great Dictator, which dabbles a little more.
Yep.
But he doesn't just jump whole hog into it. And, you know, he survived it. He made some of these great films at a time when audiences were clamoring for sound. He didn't quite sell out that way or try to appease them, you know. But he survived it, and that's pretty phenomenal.
So once again,
yep,
we have corrupted our lists because our B-list... As an A-lister,
Charlie Chaplin. It's ruined.